the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. Welcome to Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford, sitting in today for Jim Ganley, alongside MJ Crowder.
Kent Blanford. Our guest today on Faith in Action is Wendy Braun from St. Simon Parish. And she just got back in the last few weeks from a medical mission to Haiti. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much.
You know, Wendy, it always intrigues me. There's a couple things we want to talk about. The medical mission to Haiti and the new St. Vincent de Paul initiative that's just kind of beginning. And they are, I know they're interestingly intertwined. But I want to know, one of my failings is I like soft things, like a soft pillow. I like a warm bed, and I don't like it too hot in the summertime. So to choose to go to a country that would have none of those things is such an incredible sacrifice. So tell us how it even came on your horizon to go.
Yep, that's really interesting because it's not anything I ever would have expected. It's not something I grew up thinking I wanted to do, was to go to Haiti someplace sometime. But what happened was, it's been a few years ago now, but I had this growing sense that as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we were somehow connected in ways that I just was missing. And I prayed that God would show me those connections. And he showed me in two very surprising ways.
Okay.
One found me at our twin parish, St. Anne Parish, isolated mountain top little village in Cap Rouge, Haiti. And the other, interestingly enough, took me right here, downtown Indianapolis, St. Vincent de Paul Society, and a new program that they were putting together for people that I just would not ever have crossed paths with and now feel so closely connected to.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because I've heard little tidbits, but I really don't know anything about it. The only thing that I've heard is it's like teaching people to fish instead of feeding them. So tell us what it is.
Changing lives forever, and even how that came into my life was surprising, in that one day I was kind of glancing through some mail that my husband had left on the counter. Here's this newsletter from St. Vincent de Paul. I don't ever remember getting a newsletter from them. I don't ever remember getting another one from them.
No.
I open it up, and on the very front page, they were asking for volunteers for two new programs. Turned out one of them's not quite ready for prime time yet, but the other one, Changing Lives Forever, they were looking for volunteers. They had done it a couple times downtown, and were just really anxious to get it out. St. Vincent de Paul, as you well know, wonderful things, wonderful people. They are busy, busy, busy. This is a new program that's designed to help people get ahead. It's to help people develop a future story and to find ways to do that. But what most intrigued me is that it's all driven by the participants of the program.
Okay, so are these people homeless? Are they coming out of prison? Are they battered? I mean, where do
all,
they come from?
All of the above.
Okay.
What the broader vision is that as this program moves into parishes, we're going to know these people because we're going to be serving them. They will have called us for furniture. They would have called us for rent. They would have called us with any number of needs. And we'll be able to identify them and say, hey, we've got this program. Maybe you want to take a look at that. Right now, we're just beginning to do that. So for this program is actually through St. Lawrence Conference. It's the first one they've done in a parish, although there's other parishes are lining up, and I'm really excited about that. So most of our recruitment happened at the food pantry downtown. Okay. Every once in a while, they'd make an announcement. Who wants to get ahead? Who's interested in looking at this new program we have?
And they find their way to St. Lawrence.
And they find their way to St. Lawrence. In fact, nearly 100 people indicated interest. And out of them, we asked them to come to an information session. There was probably 40 or 50 by then. We could only take 12.
Oh.
There are wonderful, motivated people who just need help recognizing their own resources and getting connected to the ones that are available.
You know, as you're talking, this thing keeps going through my head about in St. Paul, he says, we need to help each other get to heaven. And I'm having this vision kind of in my head of you with your arms open and, you know, out to your side, you know, open-handedly. One took you to Haiti,
right.
St. Anne's in Haiti, and one right. is in our backyard. My kind of thing is, I think, I've always thought there are so many people in our backyard who need us.
Right.
You're doing both. I mean.
And I had that same thing. I'm going to Haiti. And again, I guess once I'm there and once you're with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't think about the bed.
Oh, sure.
And you don't think about.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Really, because that is their life and they're offering us, they're sharing with us their best.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's interesting is what has stuck with me is Wendy Braun, our guest today from St. Simon, the Apostle Catholic Church, her husband is Deacon Mike Braun, and he was actually a guest on Faith in Action, has been here at Radiothon before. But he said something kind of interesting that stuck with me, and he said that he was struck by the joyfulness of these people and how happy they were in and it's kind of silly for us to say their miserable circumstances mm-hmm. when... And we're kind of judging, and we're not living it, and yet across the board, they seem like happy people.
Yes. Yes, they are. They are a joyful people, and they sing, and they worship with all their hearts. I guess I'd have to say, though, that they know that they're tired, and they know they're hungry, and they know there's a better life for their children.
Yeah.
But within that, they do have a faith and assurance in God's love for them.
Okay, you've been there a couple times.
Been there three times now.
Been there three times, and at least one, two, maybe two, were medical missions. Correct.
That's correct.
Okay, so give us a day. Just walk us through a day of what it was like in Haiti, serving the people of Haiti.
Days start in Haiti pretty early, 6 a.m. when the sun comes up. The whole country gets up, it seems like. When you're in a larger city, you can almost hear the rumblings of people. You can just, the noise just kind of travels on up, and there they are. So days start early, and Mass is early. Now, I say sunrise is at 6:15, the first Mass of the day, the priest has a flashlight. The server is holding a flashlight over his shoulder so that he can read. But we have Mass, we go back, we have a breakfast that you wouldn't recognize as an American breakfast, but a very delicious and you can't be on a low-carb diet in Haiti, okay?
Okay, so give us something that I wouldn't recognize. What's in a breakfast there?
We term it Haitian spaghetti, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way in any way, but that seems to be
pasta?
A really
like pasta
yeah, spaghetti type noodles that's been cooked in a broth. There's not any meat that's identifiable, but it's been some kind of a seasoned broth.
Okay.
And there's usually a few vegetables floating around in it.
Okay. And that's for breakfast.
And that's the big breakfast. There's occasionally we've had eggs twice, but I kind of think that's to make us happy.
Okay.
I don't know that that's a usual thing for them.
Okay. So start with Mass and breakfast.
So we have Mass and breakfast. We head back to the clinic. The people are already there. You know, we can
lined
see
up.
Them gathering, and they come from a long way. There's no regular health care in that area. Up the mountain, there's really not you don't go down the mountain on a whim. It's a big deal to get to the nearest town. And so, yes, they've lined up. A few come on donkeys, but almost all of them have come on foot. And they're very patient, and they wait their turn, and They just file through. We set up in the church. There's four different stations plus one for eyes, one for glasses.
And what's the most common physical malady or complaint that you see?
Not a lot different from what we see around here.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
There is a lot of high blood pressure. There is a lot of back pain, headache, various infections.
Okay. All right. And you know, it's interesting. We had John Lucia on. He's from St. Simon's, and he went on a doc who went on a mm-hmm. medical mission trip. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if he didn't feel overwhelmed by the number of people that were waiting to see him and the little that he could do in the short, you know, in the few days he was there. He said something kind of interesting. He said, I remember back to medical school, the doctor told me the most important person is the person in front of you right now.
And how true that is. We so try. We're in this whole parish twinning relationship is so much, too, about building relationships. And I guess my prayer each time I've gone is I want the people to feel loved and respected and to know that someone cares for them. And so you make time. You make sure you look at them and smile at them. And I learned a few phrases in Creole, and they were so gracious at my mumbling, trying to do things. But what a joy it was for me to give the reading glasses. That's where I was this year.
Yeah.
If you can imagine to not ever have had your vision corrected in a way that would allow you to see up close. I mean, their faces just light up. And that's not all of them are reading, but they're all braiding their kids' hair, and they're cutting vegetables, and they're walking around on very uneven, rocky ground. So
now I have to imagine
that's a lasting difference.
That's a lasting difference. That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a joke that we told during the radiothon. This man was saying to his complaining. To his doctor that after his wife came to see him, she left him. And what did he do? Doctor, what did you do that she left me? And he said, I didn't do anything. I prescribed a pair of glasses. That's how dramatic that was.
So I think in both these things, both are the trips we make to our parish, our twin parish, and to the St. Vincent de Paul program is that we know we are not the experts. We are coming to walk with the people who are experts in their own lives and who are problem solvers in ways that I have never had to be a problem solver.
Yeah.
They have issue after issue after issue after issue, and then the next day they have issue after issue after issue.
Okay, so help us to understand. I know that there are a lot of parishes in town that have twinning relationships. It seems to have, I shouldn't say a lot, there are a number mm-hmm. who have had twinning relationships, mm-hmm. and I know this is an incredible need. They are a real close neighbor of ours, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you go down, I imagine on the plane ride back, I'm curious to know what you are thinking, and maybe I'm putting thoughts in your head, about what you want more to do the next time, or what you wish you could do more. Is there something some way that we could empower you, or that we could help on these twins? Because there's so much need. There's so much need. And yet, I love that you said it's just person to person. I love that you
are
present
to
the person.
It really is, and that's where I miss being there. You miss the people, and you miss the lifestyle. But I come home appreciating the quiet and appreciating what good drivers we are. Believe it or not, we are really good drivers here. You know, there are things that are hard. It's really hard it's a hard trip to take. But I guess what I just am anxious to get back. I mean, what's happening now, they determine the priorities for us. Again, they're the experts.
Okay.
And so the next priority there, the back wall of their church came down in the earthquake. That's been more than 5 years ago now. They still have a very temporary plywood, unstable, unsafe-looking, although they assure us that it is safe. But they and we want to help them rebuild that sacred space.
Okay.
And so I look forward to ways that we can help them do that.
All right, and we just have a little over a minute left. It goes so quickly. Tell us a little bit more about this St. Vincent's Initiative, the name, and do you need more volunteers?
Oh,
do you need more helpers?
You bet.
Tell us.
What we're doing, what you can do, your St. Vincent de Paul Society, your conference is probably already very, very busy. Contact them if you have any interest in this program. They need more volunteers. They need new volunteers to help with this new program. But there's excellent training. The resources that are given to us to run this workshop, they're right there. It reminds me of a Christ Renews process, if people are familiar with that. You trust the process. The people do the work. The Holy Spirit does the work. But we do need facilitators to help open the books. We need people to help provide lunches. We sometimes need help with transportation, with childcare. There's any number of ways. And one quick thing is they can't do it all in 16 weeks, obviously. These people will be paired with a partner who will walk with them for the next 18 to 24 months just to encourage them along their way that they have devised for themselves. For them and their families to get ahead.
I love it. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah. Wendy Brunn, St. Simon the Apostle Parish, talking about the medical mission and the new Changing Lives initiative through St. Vincent de Paul. God bless you. Thank you so much for your encouragement and inspiration, and may the Lord's peace be with you.
Thank you, and with you.
Hello, this is Archbishop Joseph Tobin of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. You know, there are thousands of cities in this country, but only about 200 of them have Catholic radio stations. We are fortunate to have two full-time Catholic radio stations. They are listener-supported, so please help them however you can, by telling friends about the station, putting a bumper sticker on your car, including Catholic radio in your prayers, or by sending a check. However you do it, thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Faith in Action, and today we're continuing with a kind of a series we started, I think, about the first of the year, where from time to time we're going to shine the spotlight on one of our underwriters. You hear them, their announcements on the air each day on Catholic Radio. There are businesses that have taken a portion of their promotional budget and kind of donated to Catholic Radio to keep us on the air, and then in exchange for the donations, we run announcements on the air acknowledging their gift and telling you a little bit about their business.
And this month, I think it's kind of perfect because we're leading right into spring here, which is the hottest time, I think, for home sales. This month, we have Mary Grace Bailey from Team Bailey. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm affiliated with the F.C. Tucker Company.
F.C. Tucker. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And you've been an underwriter since way back when, for
yes,
a long time.
Yes. I love Catholic Radio, and I just think that it's just a small way that I can help keep Catholic Radio on the air, and it helps my business. So I have a couple stories about getting phone calls because of being on the air.
I want to hear about that. First, tell us about your family. Husband, kids.
Well, I'm one of eight originally from the Chicago suburbs, and my mom was a RE/MAX broker helping my dad raise eight kids. She was very proud that I was a registered nurse, but she said, honey, you need to sell houses. So after my mom developed Alzheimer's, I got to whisper in her ear, I'm selling houses, Mom. And the way I got into it was, I've always loved it, and my youngest daughter was graduating from Bishop Chittard, and she said, Mom, I'm not going to college yet. I go, I know, you're not ready. So she said, I want to sell houses. So I went into the Adoration Chapel at St. Luke, and I said, Lord, she's 19. How can I help her? Clear as a bell. Form a team and help her. And so when I took my real estate courses, and then when I had to pass the big state board, I went back into the Adoration Chapel with three huge books, and I said, okay, help me study, Lord, and pass the boards right away. So that was a blessing.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And so my daughter has since gone on to a wonderful job with benefits and all that, but we still are Team Bailey. I've got my husband of 38 years, Dave Bailey, who knows everything about garage doors, about all sorts of things. He reads through my inspections and helps my clients. And so one of the things that I really like, I brought a couple visuals in here. I have a beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother, and she is usually a closing gift because everybody loves her and they need her. And this statue has been touched by a relic of the true cloth cross and has the green scapular, the healing scapular in the base.
Oh my goodness.
Then I have a gallon of holy water with full of St. Joseph statues, and this holy water's been blessed by Father Charlie Becker, who will be gracing us in May with a visit from Chicago.
Mary Grace, tell us.
This is
about the St.
Literally,
Joseph
listeners,
statues.
Let me tell you something. She literally has gallon jug, an empty gallon. It was milk in it, but it says holy water on the side. And I opened it up. I thought it was corks, but it's not corks. It is little statues of St. Joseph in there.
It's so lovely. When I go to my listing appointments, I tell them that my grandchildren will be bringing in a statue of St. Joseph, the patron saint of realtors and home sellers, and they will place in honor him on the mantle or wherever they choose.
Not upside down in the backyard.
No, we have a lot of respect for Joseph. Yes. And then the children kneel down and they pray for a swift sale that's very uncomplicated. And even the agnostic sellers, they love it. It's so beautiful to them. And we sell our listings, so that's all good, because then we can support Catholic Radio and that Dave Bailey, that sweet husband of mine, try to help him out too. So it's all good, but I had to bring in the visuals for my Catholic Radio friends.
I absolutely love it. Well,
now Mary Grace, you said you had a couple of stories that you wanted to share.
Oh yeah. I had a phone call from a gentleman. He said, "Hey, are you the lady on Catholic Radio that sells homes?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, come sell my house." So I did. Go list it, and we were blessed. We put St. Joseph in. It was a tidy little house over there near Speedway, and sold it. And actually, I've got to meet the son of the sellers, who is seminarian Trenton Rauch.
Oh, yes, of course.
And so he was there when I presented the offer, and he invited my husband and I to come to his ordination in Chicago in a couple years. So, I mean, it's just, this work is so joyful. It's fun. It makes me beam. And then another gentleman said, "My daughter is moving back from Florida. I have 7 kids. She's the oldest." Well, we sold her a house, and now I'm working with her young brother. So, God is so good. He's just not outdone. If you can do some things like support Catholic Radio, which is so terrific. I carry my little radio around my house. My husband teases me. And then the statue of Our Lady will be at Catholic Radio dinner in the silent auction. And I understand that she usually does very well for the charities.
Yes, she does.
Yes, and we're counting on her bringing about 5 bills, okay?
Yeah, Father Dzinski, he always seems to get those. He does. So if you're just now tuning in, listeners, it's kind of spotlight on our underwriters this segment, Mary Grace Bailey, Team Bailey. Now, okay, since we are heading into a time that people are thinking about putting their house on the market, I wonder if you could give us a few tips.
Oh, sure.
So let's go from selling the house. What are some simple things we could do to increase the value of our house?
Well, really, HGTV is pretty darn good, guys. I mean, when HGTV. They're showing you, I mean, when people pull up to the curb, they need to even see a pop of some color. Like pansies are good for in March.
Okay.
So it's not so dreary. And then when they step inside, if you have pets. And people can smell the pet.
Oh, sure.
They will walk right back out. And unfortunately, God's little furry animals are kind of tough to have in your home when you're trying to sell your house. So make sure that there's no pet odor, and hopefully the pet's next door at your neighbor's during showings. And then it just has to be so fresh and clean, just immaculate. And then also the staging is really important. You really have to declutter when you have 1,000 books in the front room, that kind of thing, or too many pieces of furniture. And so, you know, that's part of what a good real estate broker will do for you, is help you get it all arranged beautifully.
Now, see, that's kind of a new word. Our neighbors moved this last year, staging. He said that people came in, a realtor suggested someone, and they actually turned his home into more like a model home.
Right.
I mean, took away so much,
right.
And we walked through it, and it was absolutely gorgeous, but really kind of took it down. I mean, it decluttered it, if you will.
Right. But the thing is, you want a potential buyer to go in your house and plop down on your couch and feel like they could be sitting in the room and not looking at your personal pictures, like your kids' high school graduation, all those things that are so dear to us. So it's extremely important. And then a lot of people, they start their search and on the internet, internet, and so the pictures that of the staged homes are so gorgeous that they'll usually ask their real estate broker to take them through.
Okay. All right. Now, what are some, we're about at that spot where I'm thinking of staging my home. I'm on a 5-year plan. I'm thinking 5 years.
Right. Right.
So little things. I want to do little things. So curb appeal is important, you said.
Right. Right.
Okay. Now, in looking for your first home, so let's talk to two different buyers out there. Looking for your first home, and then also I want to address the empty nester. What are some common things that we overlook in looking for a first home?
Okay.
And then also let's talk to the empty nester.
Right.
I mean, I know that we're sometimes a deer in the headlights with the gorgeous kitchen, but what should we really be looking for in a good home?
Well, again, it's location. Like the young buyers I have right now, I asked them where their workplaces were. They, you know, I don't want them to have an hour drive to and from work. That's something for them to think about. First-time buyers, schools, are schools important to them? So that's important. House of worship, whether you're Catholic or Jewish, or if that's important for you to be near that. But again, it's location, and it's talking to a lender, and the lender tells you, here's your price point. And so honestly, I don't know my people's financials. That's their business, but their lender does, because I don't want to take them through a home that they can't afford.
So you can get pre-approved, if you will, and the bank will say, okay,
right,
you're set for 250 or 400 or
right,
whatever it is, or
right,
75, don't
right,
go over it.
Right.
Okay. We just have a little over a minute left. Our guest today, Mary Grace Bailey, Team Bailey, I've loved your stories. We have about a minute left. What do you want to tell our listeners?
That I feel that this is where God has me now. My husband told me I'm thorough and I'm committed. And I think that we have to keep Catholic Radio on the air, guys, because it's the voice of truth. And these are great times to be Catholic in our country. So anchor deep. God bless you. And I appreciate my time here today.
Thank you so much for being our guest. May the Lord's peace be with you.
Thank you.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.